Welcome to Indie Radio Garden. This week, highlights from the community radio in the Philadelphia region.
This program brings ordinary citizens to the air to discuss issues related to health, race, safety, workers' rights, and the will to survive in pandemic times.
This week, we have Indie Radio Garden segments from WGGT 92.9 FM G-Town Radio, WHGE LP 95.3 Afro-American Historical Society of Delaware, and the People's Kitchen Project. The first audio is from Germantown Info Hub Program from WGGT 92.9 FM G-Town Radio. The host is Malika Fruyen, speaking with guests Marie Monique and Brenda Littlejohn from the Germantown Mutual Aid Fund.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Germantown Info Hub. My name is Malika Fruyen, and I'm the community organizer here. When the lockdown first began, people all over scrambled to find ways to help others who lost their jobs and were at risk of losing housing. A few organizers with Germantown Residents for Economic Alternatives Together, better known as GREAT, started working on a Germantown Mutual Aid Fund that ultimately collected $100,000 in donations to support families in need. We're joined now by Marie Monique Martel and Brenda Littlejohn, two members of the Mutual Aid Fund Committee. Marie, for those who are unfamiliar, what is mutual aid? How does it work?
Mutual aid is, first of all, it is not charity. That's the major distinction, in that we follow a model that we call solidarity, that's commonly called solidarity, which is we each have an interest, we all have an interest in the presence of our neighbors being maintained. We don't want our neighbors to have to leave the neighborhood. We don't want our neighbors to be inconvenienced or to experience hardship. It's just the collective gathering of resources, in this case, financial resources, but there are other forms of resources that we all put together and we can all contribute in one way or another. And in this case, it has created, as you mentioned, a fund of over $100,000 at this point, which is incredible, made up of money that individuals have given, so many individuals, from $5 on up. We are helping ourselves by helping our neighbors to remain right here in Germantown.
It's really powerful. You know, we recently had a discussion on community-led philanthropy and the different ways people can organize and build wealth that stays in the community. And I think Germantown Mutual Aid Fund is that. It's entirely grassroots and locally collected. And you've encountered so much generosity. Brenda, do you want to talk about maybe some of the donors that you've met this past year?
In particular, I am a committee member, one of nine committee members, might I add, that review the applications that are received from individuals or community members. I want to add on about the core values that we have for the Mutual Aid Fund. And Marie touched on them, but it's really important that the community really gets, like, we post this on our website, and it's every donation is a gift. Any amount donated is a generous and meaningful. This project uses solidarity, as Marie was stating, and we are all interconnected. And I think that's important. Everyone has ways that they can give back, and we are united together in our need for a better world. We are building a stronger local culture of care. We are putting action to love thy neighbor and to help stabilize the members of our community. And then also we are trusting in each other. And that's so important. When we are in the committee, when we have people come and they put their applications in, it's really a process of, we're not asking for a lot of documentation. We are asking that people come with their need It's not like a bank. I've said this before in many other ways when I talk about the Germantown Mutual Aid Fund. It's more of a loving community, and we're looking at people who are in need and need help. I woke up this morning, I think it's important for me to share this, that I always think about, like, if I'm going to speak to people with and talk about things that I'm involved in, but I thought about the Mutual Aid Fund in this way. I thought, one good word, one good deed. That's all it takes to spark change and light a fire. And acts of kindness, that's what we're doing here. And when you ask about the donors, that's what people have done, whether it be from people who gave money because they didn't need tax refunds or the money that was given out for the stimulus. Those are ways that people have given and to the Mutual Aid Fund.
And a couple of other things to add to what Brenda said. It certainly, again, is not charity. And yes, these are kind acts, but these are kind political acts. Charity is very much top down. We're, you know, people with wealth are giving to people who don't have. And they're usually, it's usually within the framework of, you know, strings being attached. As Brenda mentioned, we have documentation. You have to show proof that you really need it, which implies that you're really deserving of it. And it's really a very controlling sort of approach, controlling poor people based on their need and your resources. Mutual aid also recognizes that the economy in which we currently exist is a very extractive economy. It does not take care of its people. And so we understand that right now we have to take care of each other. We have to organize ourselves in order to care for one another, because the degree of capitalizing on people's basic needs that exists in this socioeconomic system is extreme. And hunger, homelessness, other expressions of this extractive economy are not what we should be living under, but it is what we find ourselves in. Our government representatives, our financial and other institutions are not meeting our needs, and so we must.
You both made such good points of clarification to what mutual aid actually is and the morals behind it. Your committee collected a lot of money. You know, with that money, you were able to support 75 families. Yes. What did people need the most help with?
Overwhelmingly, it was rent. About 75% of the gifts that we were able to share were applied to rent.
Yeah, and I think that's really relevant. Right now, I'm in California, and I see a lot. There's tents all over the place. And I think back to in Philadelphia when we had the tents, the people living in tents. And so then I'm going to relate it back to the work that we're doing with the Mutual Aid Fund. And that's keeping people in the Germantown community and relating it back to the fact that 75% of the people need help with rent. That's major. That is a major work that we're doing in helping people stay in place, stay a part of the community. I know we had the prior guests talking about gun violence, Shante Love and Aja. All of this goes together, and I think there's some connectivity. Definitely about, when I was listening to him, I thought about the connectivity of our work. And, you know, we're part of Germantown Mutual Aid Fund, but it's part of GREAT. And we're all doing a ton of work to try to keep people in Germantown, keep people's emotions, you know, their emotional well-being, people feeling loved. All of this goes into that pot, and we're all stirring it to make Germantown and also this world a better place. I know I said a lot there, but I sort of think like that, but it is all connected, and I'm just glad to be a part of this work.
What happens next? How do we sustain these efforts? I know I've had these conversations with a variety of you at different meetings before, but how do we sustain this?
Good question. Because the conditions that have created them, yes, we responded to the COVID pandemic and our fund sort of arose from that. But the financial conditions were just laid bare by COVID and exacerbated by COVID, but they existed well before. And so how do we continue to meet our basic survival needs? One, we certainly encourage people to give, give, give. No gift is too small. We ask you to go to our website and for Germantown residents, for Economic Alternatives Together, which is greatgtown.org, greatgtown.org. Go to our mutual aid fund page and you can click on a link to donate. And again, every bit of assistance is every gift is appreciated. Find ways to help with your time, with your talents, with your abilities, with all of your gifts. We have we are always looking for people to help us with sustaining the mutual aid fund. We also have a time bank, which gives us other ways. The economic alternatives part of Great's name is about looking at other ways that we can support one another. And that's with your time. If you need someone to help you take care of something in your home, 1 hour of my helping you to prepare a meal is equivalent to 1 hour of your helping to change the tire on my car or whatever it is. So we do need people to continue to give. If you're receiving the stimulus check and you're in a fortunate position to not need it for your basic survival, consider donating that. That would be a wonderful gift. If your organization has any matching funds with donations, we are also a 501c3. So we can certainly qualify for that. Any connections that you can make. And also the other way to help sustain this is to tell people about it who may need to apply or who may want to apply for support. We exist because the need exists. So please help us to connect to people. The only requirement is that you be a Germantown resident, that your address is here.
Thank you both so much for being here today.
Our next segment is from WHGELP 95.3, Afro-American Historical Society of Delaware. James Bailey interviewed Bee Brown, a singer, civil rights activist, and sports coach, about his work in the community during the pandemic.
Inside, I smile from within. I've been the guy to drive for the win. Ask the team what I mean and they'll tell you times when. But fast forward to today, I'm going in. Forward is the mission, intervention is the system. Drop a little positivity, you get the
Hello, everyone. This is James Bailey with WHGELP 95.3 FM in Wilmington, Delaware. And we are with Coach B, Brendan Brown. So tell us about yourself.
I'm a human being. I'm a man who identify as a Black man in America. I am a creative soul. It's about people and progress. I happen okay. to be pretty good at music and stuff like that, so some people know me for that. Born and raised in Philly up until middle of high school. Moved not too far down the road to Delaware, so I'm an East Coast guy.
Tell me a little bit about your journey with health and wellness and fitness in general.
Specifically, health, wellness, and fitness has been a part of my journey. I guess I do identify as that being a part of my professional makeup and actually going into the military. Got the chance to open my own wellness and fitness studio, which is, you know, I mean, obviously pretty much the pinnacle of what you can do as a fitness trainer and coach. So
let me ask you this. Premier Studios is great. Your personality as it applies to your business. And then we had a major incident last year with George Floyd. I think that changed some things. Aside from our global pandemic, I think the George Floyd incident changed things for a lot of people. How would you like to talk about that?
So you mentioned 2020 and George Floyd, and that brings a lot of, I'm sure that brings a lot of thoughts for all of us human beings alive on Earth, to be just completely honest. We could say Americans, but as we know, it was a global shockwave, really, that was set off. So for me, it was a transition in business, transition in life as well, for me personally. The pandemic and COVID-19 come to mind, where it basically shut down, you know, business-wise. It was weird at first, like I'm sure it was for everybody. But again, speaking on my experience from my perspective, I guess you would say, what, 4 or 5 months into the pandemic, which was just after the occurrence with George Floyd, we made a decision to actually close down the physical location. I just didn't see the fitness industry like rebounding. I was at a good space and a good point. I feel like I had to make the best moves. And it's a little bit different when you're not backed by, you know, major banks and things like that. And you're actually moving, you know, pretty much moving on your own, or your small companies. So I wanted to stay flexible and light. So we went directly to the virtual side of things and started to build digitally. And we had been prior to, which I'm so thankful, really, that I was kind of just following my heart with that. So I feel like we made good on the professional side. But what that affected also was, for me personally, I got a lot more involved in social activism and actually, I guess you could say, boots to ground, so to say. And I actually started to get around the different cities and get into the heartbeat of what was going on with racial disparities and specifically with just the violence that has been endured by, you know, our communities, I'll say the largely African-American communities.
What was that experience like? Because that, honestly, that's why I brought up George Floyd, because I specifically recall that was a pinnacle time for you. And I witnessed you going all over the country and I could see your passion, and it was just as intense as it was in the gym. In your travels and through that experience, what would you say was one of the most impactful things that you encountered during that time?
I would have to say, and there are people that wouldn't even want me to speak on this, but we, a group of interested and concerned individuals of the community, put together something to demonstrate, put together a demonstration here in the state of Delaware. At the time, Joe Biden was running, and you know, it was kind of getting hot in the election and everything. And basically, the things that we were bringing light to were essentially challenging, I guess, seen as a potential political challenge to his platform and his presidential campaign. And all I'll say is the amount of intentional resistance and kickback that myself and members of our team got from different offices and local law enforcement showed me the machine that we were talking about and speaking about and addressing actually did exist. We were suppressed in the media. The things that started to transpire caused me to actually retreat from social media and the public in general for about 5 months.
Well, I think in that retreat, it was kind of a transformational retreat, because you have reemerged with a different focus and a different platform, that being the Inspiration Block. What can you tell us, the listeners, about the Inspiration Block?
I see the Inspiration Block as me, honestly, digitally. It's like me being able to pour my passion and literally like almost like my lifeblood, so to say, into a digital creation. The inspirationblock.com was birthed by me organically, just writing, you know, here in this country, we could just be brutal to one another. And it just goes a long way to be able to share hope with people. stories, wall art, inspirational clothing, just pieces to just share hope, inspiration, and maybe spark a little bit of a smile on a human heart. That's what the inspirationblock.com is all about.
So you also mentioned that you're talented musically as well. Tell us a little bit about that, and where do you find inspiration musically? Like, are there any specific artists that you hold dear or that you'd like to meet?
You know, with the stage of life that I'm in and the life that I've lived, I'm in, you know, at this point, I would say I'm really inspired by life. What I've realized, everything that I've come through, I say the darker days that have taught me to appreciate, you know, my light, so to say, and appreciate, you know, the good. I've just learned that life in itself is a blessing. So I don't look for or need anything other than, you know, literally like waking up, breathing, blanking, and knowing that my creator, you know, loves me to the point where, you know, I have life. I feel like then I'm able to draw from inspiration from anything that I interact and engage with. I used to be very critical, hypercritical of myself, and therefore hypercritical of a lot of things external to myself. So when I learned that about my habit and my mental approach towards life, and I was able to adjust it and change it, what I realized is that just to be alive is a blessing, man. So I love to just talk about life. I talk about anything, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, if we can breathe it in, if we can smell it, if we can experience it, if we can touch it, if we can taste it, then it's a blessing, man. Like, I learned that the darkest days, man, were like some of the most precious moments. You're not able to see that until you come on the other side of it. So in terms of artists, without sounding cocky or arrogant, man, like, I'm really not too interested in meeting specific artists, only because, like, I'm careful to appreciate my own experience.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not about anybody else as much as it is about me being really centered and focused to articulate the art that I'm supposed to creatively express.
Okay.
You know, so I'm inspired by, I won't get into mentioning names because it's really not about any of them. It's about whatever I'm supposed to get out and express.
What do you have to say to new listeners who are just being educated about who you are? You know, where do you go from here with these new souls that you're able to touch through this medium?
Anybody that I'm able to touch is a blessing. And I view every soul, every individual, every human, you know, every soul, every life form, I view it as precious and is divinely inspired by the creator. So I take that into account with anybody that I'm given the opportunity to interact with and engage with now at this point in my life. What I mean by that is they're never handcuffed. You know what I'm saying? They're not. It's like we on a journey together as long as they desire to engage and interact with me. I would just say hold on and continue to listen, because I'm a very dynamic individual. So my music is going to be dynamic. I don't feel like I could be placed in any form of a box in terms of a genre or a style of music that I express and articulate and operate and function in. I just want to be free to create and literally just bring some form of hope, some form, even through the darkest or maybe the most craziest song, there's something in it that's speaking to that human spirit that says, yo, you lit for real, and you can get it. Stay focused. You got this.
Coach Brown, Coach B, how should people get a hold of you? What is the best method to listen to your work and reach out to you?
B Brown Writes is the artist, I guess you say the artist brand company that I established, so the pen name. So in terms of social media, B Brown Writes, you know, that's Instagram, the Facebook artist page and everything. There's all, you know, that stays updated. There is the inspirationblock.com, which has different links and things. So if you go to theinspirationblock.com, you can always navigate to me one way or another.
And that's the Inspiration Block, BLOC.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's really that's where I would like to really kind of concentrate people's attention to anyway, because that's where they're gonna get something for themselves, as well as, you know, if they're inspired to say like, yo, I want to check this dude out or hit this dude up, they can get to it through there.
Well, thanks a lot for sharing this time with us, Coach B. This is James Bailey with WHGE LP 95.3 FM in Wilmington, Delaware. This is a Prometheus Radio production. Thank you for listening.
So many never get it because they fail at that test. The truth really is a lot of people not strong. Forfeit anything on the gram, putting on masking the pain with fake gold chains. Hide that low self-esteem, kicking game. Going out there, ready to try.
Finally, Megan Storm, a collaborator of the People's Kitchen Project, where she enters the project headquarters, the El Compadre restaurant in South Philly, and shares with us the experiences of kitchen workers surviving the pandemic and working to feed thousands of people all the days through this project, which helped by providing hot food every day to those in need.
So I'm just south of Washington Avenue on 9th Street. I'm standing outside of Casa Mexico, just a few doors down from South Philly Barbacoa. We are just north of Pat's and Gino's Steaks, and today I'm going to walk into El Compadre, which is the home to the People's Kitchen, and I'm asking folks how COVID has affected them.
It affected me by not getting out of the house, staying in the house all the time, not doing the things I wanted to do. I saw an opportunity that was there for me, so I like cooking and stuff, so I figured great opportunity.
What are you making?
Today we're making a chicken chettinad. It's a southern part of India, that's where I come from. It's called Tamil Nadu, where I come from. There's one other part of region, it's called chettinad, and that's where the curry I'm making. It's with the coconut milk and curry leaves and cumin and coriander seeds and all of that. So that's a chicken chettinad I'm making for a regular meal. And we have basmati rice. And I'm making for a vegan dal tadka. That's a vegan meal for five meals we're making. And we got some raita, yogurt raita. That's with contains with cucumber, carrots, and pineapple, and onions, and some herbs and spices.
Wow, it smells amazing.
Thank you.
Get to try it.
COVID affected us pretty. It was unusual that we'd never felt it before. And it's the first time in my lifetime I'm seeing COVID. And the pandemic, through the pandemic, a lot of people lost their job, including myself. And it's coming back right now, but not sure how fast is going to be the vaccines and all of that. But we are hoping for good, finger crossed, by end of this year, we'll come back to normal. But I would like to everyone to keep mask on for a lifetime. It's one of the best thing. I feel like, you know what, it's not by anything by us, it's by nature, the God. So it's a good habit that we should keep it for a lifetime. That's what I wanna say.
Well, for me, COVID affected me. This year it kinda hit me hard because I just lost my dad to it. When it first started, it was kind of a gain for me because it let me chill, realize what I really wanted to do in life, get everything situated for this year. So now with the passing of my dad, due to COVID, everything that I do as far as cooking wise is in retrospect to him. So COVID, it knocked me down, but it made me stronger. So that's my overall view on it as of right now.
Thank you for being with us. I am Marcellus Armstrong from WPEB 88.1 FM, located in Philadelphia. Indie Radio Garden is a production of Prometheus Radio Project.